This is Joey Ryan, and you're listening to the Massive Buds Wrestling Show.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Massive Buds Wrestling Show. It's been a while. How's it going, Keith?
Good, good, man. How you doing?
I've seen better days, but I'm on the road to recovery.
Nice, nice.
I spent the weekend in the psych ward.
Yeah, that's never fun.
No. But thankfully you picked me up and you got me some books while I was in there. Definitely helped me pass the time. So I'm dealing with some post-traumatic stress disorder stuff. And right now I'm dealing with workers' comp stuff, so...
Shit, good luck with that. That's just going to take forever.
It is. But luckily I just kept getting on them and they were saying I wasn't going to be able to go get evaluated until August, and now I got it bumped up till Monday.
Nice.
So at least I'm just trying to get things moving, because those wheels move very slow.
Hell yeah.
But I missed some wrestling. You went to EWF.
Yeah. We went to one of the shows. We didn't hit both shows.
You didn't go to the one Hemet. I would.
No, Hemet was a little far out.
Well, it was also late. I was gonna thinking about going, and then I looked, and it was like kind of expensive because it was like a fundraiser.
How much was it?
I didn't even know. It was like $25.
Really?
Unless I was reading the flyer wrong.
I didn't know that.
It was like a fundraiser, so it was like a little bit more money. And, like,
yeah,
the card wasn't
there.
Super awesome.
Well, yeah, because Andy Brown was in Ground Zero, wasn't he?
So the drive out to Hemet just, and the cost, I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, I wasn't going to do the drive out to Hemet. After the night before, the thing is the night before was a great show.
Yeah,
so it was kind of like,
How was that show? What was the highlight?
Adrian Quest dropping the title.
To Tito?
To Raunchy Rico.
Oh, no, Raunchy Rico.
Yeah, Raunchy Rico,
right.
which was an awesome freaking match.
Yeah.
They tore our seats up.
It seems like they're really pushing Raunchy Rico hard.
Well, see, and I
he won the Battle Royal.
I thought they would push Adrian. I think Quest is
getting ready to move up and onward to other things. Like, he's wrestling at Santino's more. He's wrestling in bigger places. So I don't know if he's
going to...
But it would
make more sense for him to go to those places with some credentials with a belt.
I mean...
You know, like Andy Brown does, where he's got three different belts.
Yeah, but I think he's maybe just not... I don't know. You know, I think maybe he's just a placeholder champion for now.
Maybe, but I don't know.
They'll have him feud with
What I was hoping for was a little bit longer of a run with Adrian Quest and with Fidel dropping the title.
Yeah.
Having a nice run with Fidel and Adrian Quest.
For that
title.
I think they're still going to keep Fidel at the top.
And Andy, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's money. There's
still
money there. And they're so hot right now. And also, we'll get into it in a little bit, but with Andy Brown debuting at PWG, he might not be available as much anymore, because I could see Andy Brown starting to travel like some of these other guys are.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Brody King and Eli traveling everywhere. I doubt we're going to see them in EWF anytime soon, if ever again.
Ever again, yeah.
Whereas this time last year, we were seeing them in EWF pretty much on the reg, you know?
Yeah, I think, Brody King's last match down there was what? I think Sin Bodhi, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we saw him a few times in EWF.
Yeah.
Same thing with Eli.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw Eli Adrian Quest. That was like the last time I think Eli wrestled.
Yeah.
At EWF.
That was the first and only time I've seen him wrestling EWF.
But he used to wrestle EWF a bunch.
Well, yeah, he's coming up.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, those guys are now, so now you have, but now even Andy Brown, Adrian Quest, even Fidel, Fidel's getting huge push CWFH.
CWFH.
And like, they're starting to travel out. They're doing like, I mean, they were just down in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. The Dragon Mania. But that was the second year, too.
So, like, that's getting more exposure down there. So I could see them maybe doing more stuff in Mexico, like indie shows in Mexico, maybe even some AAA CMLL getting in with them, because that's the Crash.
Yeah, the Crash.
Where Douglas James already is wrestling in the Crash. Ray Horace is at the Crash. And then WWE even is getting guys from these places. Like, they got what's that guy's name in NXT? I don't have my internet, otherwise I'll look him up. But they got him from the crash. He's a lucha guy. Doesn't wrestle with a mask on, though.
Okay.
He's in NXT. He's kind of been doing jobber stuff lately.
All right.
What's his name? Somebody's yelling it right now. And anyways, he was wrestling at the crash, like, this time last year. Speaking of the crash, June 16th, I think we're rolling down to TJ.
Nice.
Janela and Riddle.
Oh, dang.
It'll be Riddle's debut, finally.
Dang.
It was supposed to happen last year.
That'll be nice.
Yeah. So hopefully I'll be driving some of the boys down there. It'll be a good time. You need to get the
June 16th, so that puts it, yeah, right after QPW and PWG. Right before my
birthday. No, that's July.
No, that's July, huh? Okay, okay.
June 16th. Okay. June 14th is the show that we are sponsoring.
Yes, the Peter and Ray show.
That's Peter and Ray's surprise party, which is going to be at the Legion Hall in Southgate on June 14th at 8 o'clock.
Food, prizes, giveaways. It's going to be great.
Buy your tickets in advance so you can get that. You get a goodie bag if you buy in advance.
Yeah, I think it's got all kinds of buttons and stuff in it too, or something.
Yeah.
So, we should be there. That's buttons, next and shirts Thursday, and all that stuff. Yeah.
And we'll be there with Human Tornado and with Deshaun from Hot Tub Guy.
You get to watch all his.
And so that's exciting. And now, we did get word that Maverick Pro got a new venue.
Yeah, is it North Hollywood?
North Hollywood. So we'll be there. Heat Wave, what is that, June 30th?
No, I thought it was the 23rd, 20-something.
28th?
Something like that, right?
Yeah, something like that. I don't have internet right now.
I'll find out right now. But yeah, it's something like that.
So we'll be there as well at the Mab Pro Show. That's the one with Sabu, Raven, Shane Douglas, Super Crazy, bunch of ECW originals. As well as
June 23rd.
That's going to be dope.
At Expol USA.
And that's in North
Hollywood Street, North Hollywood.
Yeah, and we'll have a table there. So come.
So yeah, that should be a great show.
Come say hi. And we got giveaways. You got some giveaways from Cushy Punch.
Yeah, some Cushy Punches. Got some, what else we got? Got some lotions for people to try out.
We got lotion. We got new CBD products.
Yeah, so.
We got these CBD recovery gummies I'm looking at right now from Cushy Punch.
60-30s are really good.
60 milligram THC, 30 milligram CBD per gummy.
And we got the CBD lotion.
Yeah,
and then the THC mixed with CBD lotion too.
And then we are also working on getting some CBD carts as well as CBD cookies from Sexy Eds.
Yeah, should be in stock soon. Should be in stock very soon.
And somebody was asking me the other day about, I guess there's people still getting to that Rich Simpson oil. Is that
Rick Simpson oil?
Rick Simpson oil.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's a straight CBD for cancer patients.
So, and then you got the line on that as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We all got all this.
I was learning today about Mr. Jack Harrer.
Yeah.
Because I was writing descriptions for a client, one of our friends over at Black Eden.
Uh-huh.
Shout out.
Yep, Black Eden, great collective out there.
And so I was working up a write-up for him and came upon jackharrer.com. Where you can actually read the text of The Emperor Has No Clothes.
I was just going to ask you, have you read the book,
Reading it.
It's pretty crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then he also was writing, right before he died, he was writing all this stuff about, like, the Song of Solomon and how it relates to mushrooms.
Yeah.
And I was very fascinated by his commentary on Song of Solomon because I have thought some of the same things before. Because I'm like, this isn't about a man and a wife, dude. There's other shit going on. I mean, one, it is. Like, it's clearly like a drug trip. Song. Well, it's the book of the Bible.
Okay.
Song of Solomon.
Okay.
And it's basically about a drug trip, man.
Sounds like most of the Bible.
Especially Song of Solomon.
Really?
Because it's always a fascinating book because, one, it's dirty.
Okay.
Like, it's pretty dirty.
All right.
And two, it's like, nothing should be taken literally, especially not this. And, yeah, it's like a romantic love poem, but it's also like talking about a drug trip and stuff. And,
crazy.
And so Jack Harrow wrote a whole thing about that, which you can read on his website.
Well, see, who's to say they didn't use those kind of drugs back then? I'm sure they did.
Well, 100%, especially if this was all happening in like Africa and Egypt, and
we're just barely on a civilized society of laws within the last couple hundred years. And we're talking a world within thousands of years, and you're telling us that people in Christ's time did not use psychedelics? Yeah, right.
Right.
You know, maybe we're not talking LSD or
this
anything.
This is like especially you gotta think where this was all happening. Like, this was where the ganja grew plentiful.
Exactly.
And then the mushrooms and the poppies and...
And all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, think about the Middle East now. That's where most of this shit comes, like the poppies.
Think about
where all the poppies come from.
All that stuff. I mean, it only makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But crazy. Hey, you don't need opiates if you got the ganja.
But not even just talking opiates. I mean, there's got to be cactuses and other mushrooms.
Peyote plants.
I mean,
kinds of things.
Dude, I've seen on some of these shows, this dude went to like Madagascar and found a fish.
Yeah.
That you eat the fish and it gives you psychedelic dreams. Like, who would have thought
there's
a fucking chemical?
You can lick the frogs.
Yeah, dude. No, I seen them smoke the frogs.
What?
Dude, they scrape the secretions.
Not the actual frog.
So gross. Because it was weird secretions.
But then you dab that.
But they didn't hurt the frogs because they take these frogs as sacred
animals.
Watch out
for your nail, by the way.
What they would do is they would take the frog. One, they'd have to go in late at night, and you'd
these
have
aren't
to
the
be
like the poison frogs.
Yeah, they were, bro.
But can't that kill you?
I don't know, because these were like
shamans. There's like the poison dart frogs. That shit'll kill you.
The thing that I saw, these were shamans that were like old ass dudes that have been catching these frogs for like years that their fathers have taught them how and their grandfathers. Right. So they would get the frogs, they would scrape the poison off of their backs and then let the frogs go. Oh, you know, blessed to the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd take the liquid poison and take it and dry it in the sun and then smoke it. And this dude's eyes straight up rolled in the back of his head and he repeated the word love like 100 times. That's all he was saying. Like, and then he just snapped out of it and he was like explaining how awesome it was and he was like, what was I saying? It was crazy. I
met a ayahuasca shaman at Rupo this week, so I might be doing that soon.
That's crazy. Let me know how that goes.
Well, it's supposed to be really good for depression. You know what else is good for depression that ketamine. I might do soon? Ketamine.
I was hearing about it, but it's like it goes back to the microdosing.
Yeah.
But
they're also having a ton of success with PTSD.
Same with mushrooms.
Yeah.
Mushrooms too, psychedelic mushrooms and MDMA.
I'd rather do ketamine than that other stuff.
But the key is all microdosing from what I'm understanding. It's taking just enough to where you're not fully like loopy, but you have
Well, that's like I was microdosing with mushrooms like a few like the other like ranchathon. And, like, it was a great experience.
I've known dudes who microdose, like, on a regular. That's what they do with mushrooms. And I'm like, really? You can get away with that? And, you know,
man.
I mean, I've eaten one or two caps of mushrooms and tripped balls. I don't know how a microdose would go because I've eaten eights and I've eaten caps and I still have good trips and, you know.
One or two, is it the most you've ever done?
You know what? No. I've eaten a whole eighth at once.
I was going to say.
Yeah, I normally, the times that I've done them heavy, I've eaten a whole. But I've had times where...
One or two and you can trip?
What trip out on this. One specific time I can remember.
Man, this is like heavy drug talk here.
Yeah. We came back from a reggae concert that my friends were playing in.
Yeah.
In San Luis Obispo, and they were staying at my house.
Yeah.
So we brought back all kinds of beer, and we were drinking at about 1-2 in the morning. Me and my roommate and two other guys decided to eat some mushrooms. And I had some left over from Reggae on the River that I had bought, right? So we kind of split them up, but the mushrooms, it was like a cake mushroom. So it wasn't like caps, like there was
There was like a little
bit of a bottom, and there were like three little teeny mushrooms, probably about the size of maybe an inch or a half an inch long, not even that big. So we ate probably the equivalent to one of those. And holy shit, we were tripping balls. I mean, I remember my roommate going to bed, laying down, and just barreling laughter in his dark room in the dark. Yeah. And us all laughing at him. That he was, it was just one of those things where I couldn't believe that that little bit had just tripped me so hard.
Well, I think I'm going to do ayahuasca at some point. I got to wait till I have the money.
It's one of those opening your mind kind of things from what,
well, from what I'm what this guy David, he's like, he's an amazing singer. He sang for us, and he sings in Spanish. It's beautiful. But he was telling me about how it helped his depression. And, like, I mean, I know it's like, you gotta be careful with this stuff, but if you're in the right place and the right mindset.
Yeah, dude, these things have been around for hundreds and thousands of years. Dude, and
going back eons.
And we're putting all of our faith into this pharmaceutical business that we don't even really know what's going on in the drugs, dude.
Like,
yeah, they gotta come from somewhere. Yeah, exactly. So, a lot of these things that have worked for many, many, and thousands of years probably still do work. We just aren't exposed to them in our
Western culture. Well, I mean, when you're reading The Emperor Has No Clothes and how prevalent, like, hemp growing was in our own society when we first got here, like, to the point where you could be penalized for not growing hemp.
Yeah.
And how we just, at some point, decided this is bad.
It wasn't decided it was bad. It was we were told we were by the media. Well, again, that was pretty much the beginning of the fake news, telling us, hey, you know what, this is bad. We need to start cutting trees down.
And the fact that they couldn't get over the fact, like, again, and then you have that popular science article referring to it as, like, the billion-dollar crop, and how that didn't happen because of regulations. And
imagine
the kind of, cause like the uses for hemp, industrial hemp, it's crazy.
Imagine the financial state that America can be in right now if they would have just kept processing that and staying with that mindset.
They wouldn't have needed slavery. It's a lot easier to grow and harvest. Yeah, but
hemp wasn't made illegal. All that stuff wasn't illegal until
the 30s. No, that's true. Never mind. The slaves still...
Yeah, that's pulling it a little too far, but... No. Because you would... I mean,
slaves still harvested the hemp.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they still used them.
Talking out of my ass.
Yeah, they still... Anybody who can get free work is going to get free work back then.
I just think it's crazy right now that they're, like we could have, like you said, like that could be like a, like that could be like our number one export.
We could have been a world economic leader of hemp for over a hundred years easily.
They were growing it in the 1600s. Mm-hmm.
And if they would have taken that a step further with the mindset that even the growers
as an
have
industry,
now,
like, because that's if you read what Hera was pushing for, it was all this industry and that like we providing the industrial infrastructure, then like putting the same effort we did behind other industries, and then we could have been like a superpower, producer of hemp.
Because this, America, Canada, Middle East, few areas in this world where that plant will really grow as fruitful like it does.
Yeah. Well, to tie it back into wrestling, did you see that Val Venus is doing some kind of hemp cannabis expo, but he's doing it in New Jersey?
Is that what it was?
I'm like, you should do it somewhere it's legal.
I think New Jersey has got medical laws.
Yeah,
but
I think
the medical laws are
there,
so restrictive.
Still very restrictive.
They're like 10%.
Well, and then
THC.
New York is like insane from what I heard.
Yeah, they're
like,
really,
I don't know. I just don't understand why he's doing it. He should come here.
Well, I don't understand why he's doing it in somewhere like New Jersey when his dispensary is in Phoenix.
Because they're paying him to come out there?
Yeah, but...
And it's a gimmick,
yeah,
I guess?
But it would make more sense for him to
do it
closer
to his... I just think it's a gimmick, and they're paying him to come out there.
So is he throwing it, or is he just appearing?
I think he's just appearing.
Okay, because that's what I'm wondering. Because if he was throwing it, it would make more sense to do it closer to your home base.
Yeah. Is he in Arizona, though?
Yeah, he's in Phoenix, I believe.
But is Arizona, like, super restrictive?
No, they are to somewhat. I mean, I've been to Havasu, and they won't let me in the dispensaries there with my California ID. But yeah. If you get pulled over and you have your rec, you're good. So it's just, I don't know, it's different states have different laws, I guess.
You need to support your local cannabis laws, people. You need to get that going.
Read your laws. Don't vote for just any laws.
Well, exactly. Support the good ones. Fight the bad ones.
Yeah.
Demand change. And let's try and slow down this corporate takeover for as long as we possibly can. Oh, man,
that's happening. That's happening whether we like. That's what that 64 bill is geared toward.
At least we can get some provisions for the little guys.
That's what we need, exactly.
Well, like, the banking stuff is going to be... That would be good.
Well, you know, Cory Booker and I forget the other fucking person. Just put legislation into the state, into the Senate.
Yeah.
To protect the stuff medical marijuana laws.
Yeah, the state laws. That finally happened.
Supposedly. Well, Trump's going to be backing it.
Supposedly. He said he was, but who knows? He's unpredictable.
I like to see it when it's already signed and done.
And that's the best, because there's a few ones that are floating around, but that's the best one, and that's the one that's supposedly going to actually protect the state marijuana laws and is going to open the path for banking and stuff like that.
And that's what's needed.
And that's what's needed, because we need to get the money out in the open.
Yep.
Like, to be able to do business. And to actually, like, because it's hard to do business without being able to use PayPal or even take credit cards legally. Yeah, you have to be, like, you're like, any point, the bank could just be like, no.
You know a funny thing, too, is I was just watching, what was I watching? It was Child's Play. I was watching Child's Play the other night.
Yeah, because weren't you showing it to
your kids? Yeah, me and my kids were watching. It was, I think...
Did your kids get traumatized?
Oh, no, my kids loved it. Yeah. My kids woke up in the morning and watched it next day.
Hilarious.
But
your kids are funny.
But I mean, we're thinking, was it 89, 1990 it came out, give or take?
It was like 87.
Okay, so say 87, give or take. Okay, so no, we watched the second one.
Second one was like 90.
So 89, 91. 90. Say give 87 to 90. So somewhere. So they have a scene where the guy drives in his Mercedes and walks in the liquor store, right? And he puts his gold card down to buy the vodka, and the liquor store guy goes, "We don't take credit cards here." And it just brought me back to. Damn, there was a time when there were businesses that didn't want to have anything to do with them
because of the processing fees. The processing fees were so high.
But it's so hard to find those ones that are like that now. Back then,
well, because now technically they can't do that. It's against their it's against your agreement, your bank agreement, to charge a fee.
yeah.
And so, because people try to charge fees, but technically they're not allowed to do that. You could, but then what do you, you know, like...
But it was crazy that to think of a time when you can walk in and he even said, the guy goes, "That's a gold card, man." times have changed now. Yeah, everyone has some sort of card or something now.
I don't carry cash.
Yeah. I guess I'm a rare beast.
You are.
But yeah, it just brought a flashback of to time of the older days.
So going back to EWF, that was good times.
Yeah, that was the highlight. I'm trying to remember because I did eat a bunch of edibles before the show. So Highlander and Beetle had a really good match. They seem to be putting a little feud together with those two, but they can work together really good.
Yeah.
And highlight of the night. What's it? And Andy Brown and Eric Watts was the main event.
Yeah, how was that?
Ty Matthews came out, cut a little promo on.
So Jerick Matthews came out.
But he came out and cut a promo with Fidel, trying to get Fidel to join the hyper positivity movement.
Okay.
Which was really pretty funny. Yeah, Fidel gave him the whole, "You kind of left here crying like a little pussy the last time you were here, so why should I join you?" Kind of ended it. But then after Andy Brown beat Watson, what was a really good match. They were all over the place. Jarrell Nelson comes
Jarrell
out.
Jarrell Nelson, not Jerick.
Jarrell Nelson comes
not
out.
Not Jerick Matthews.
And
Ty Matthews.
And Jax, Andy Brown steals his belt. Yeah, the greatest show runs off with it. rips my daughter's sign up to be on the way out,
man.
Too.
Man, what a bad man.
Yeah, what a bad man.
That's a real bad guy there.
But that's all right. That's all right. We'll be back with some more signs for him.
Well, we're going to see a bunch of those guys at CWFH on Sunday.
Yes, yes. Coastline Clash.
And also, I'm headed down to Fist tomorrow.
Very so nice.
That's exciting. So what do you got there? You got your...
Got some crystalline going on right here.
Yeah, but you're... You're having some problems with your email. But,
problems no longer.
That Coastline Clash is going to be dope. You got MJF defending the CZW heavyweight title against Sway Thompson. You've got,
Scorpio Sky, Rosas.
Yeah. And then you've got Willie Mack defending his title.
Yeah.
You got a lot of stuff happening, and I'm very excited for it. It's a big show.
Coastline Clash was actually my first CWFH show last year, so it'd be nice to go back there after a year.
You went to the Red Carpet Rumble, though, too.
No, I didn't. It was the Coastline Clash. The Red Carpet Rumble was the month after. I didn't want to make the drive out there.
I could have sworn I heard you in the crowd at the Red Carpet Rumble.
No. I was there at the Coastline Clash, though.
All right. Well, I'm excited for this one. And what else? Oh, yeah. So I didn't get to go to Ground Zero. Sean and the Anthony went. And it looked like it was... So I read Steve's review. It sounds like the show was super long. Like, it sounds like it went till like, past midnight.
Really?
Which means it was, like, 4 hours long.
Really?
That's too long.
So it started. Oh man, yeah, that's a long show.
Yeah,
that's like a WrestleMania almost.
Yeah, I think like Steve.
That's a WrestleMania main show.
Steve said in his review on SoCal Uncensored, like he really liked the show and he liked the matches, but wrestling should be enjoyed, not endured. You should leave your audiences wanting more.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because I guess like the last three matches they said were amazing, but like it was just like really long.
Were all the matches long?
I guess.
Maybe that's what it was.
Like, a common thing I read was that the matches were great, but I wasn't there, but that they could all have been shorter. That's what Sean said that on some of them.
I personally like long matches, but in
not
a show, you
all
have,
of them.
Yeah,
you have
to
mix it up.
Yeah, you have to combine them with some short matches, because otherwise, if you have just long matches, just, like you said, it's just a long
show. Just sounds like
show.
A lot of long matches.
There's no specialty to having a long match if all the matches are long.
Right.
You know? I'll go back to last year, before May 5th, before EWS last anniversary show. What's it? Adrian Quest and Fidel Bravo went to a 35-minute draw. That shit was off the hook.
Yeah.
And even
some of the best matches I've seen are like some of the long matches during BOLA. Like BOLA 2015, Zack Sabre Jr. and I forgot who it was. I think Thatcher or somebody. They had like a 45-minute match. Oh, no. It was Marty Scurll.
Oh, man.
And,
I can imagine
and
that.
And Zack Sabre Jr. And it was like super long.
See, you have a long match with two people
and
like
then
that.
Like,
that makes sense.
And then like Chris Hero. I remember he had a super long match with somebody. It was super dope. Bullet 2015, like night three, I remember, was just like... like these, but it was building and building and building to this final, the final that was like, that was like even longer. And then you think about New Japan, how they do that.
Yeah.
Think about the Pyramid show where like, it was a build to the 39-minute Young Bucks Golden Lovers match, which is the longest match on the card.
Yeah.
And I'm down for that, you know.
Same here, yeah.
Like from those big shows. But when it's like, every match is 30 minutes. It's no good.
Well, there's no, like I said, there's no specialty to having the long match if every match is like that.
Yeah.
You know.
But we're going to miss the July Ground Zero because they're running bar that weekend.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah, they're doing two bars
in
July.
They're doing two bars in July. So listen to this. We got on the 13th, I think it's like the 13th is, let me look at my calendar.
Well, there's a new venue for bar in July, too, right?
No.
They're not both at the same place.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. One of them, some... No, they're both at the Legion Hall. Oh, one of them's at the Pinkerton, I guess.
Yeah, I don't even know what the Pinkerton is.
I thought that's the name of the show.
Oh, I don't know. Hold on.
No, they're at the Legion. They're both at the Legion Hall. The name of the thing is Pinkerton. Oh, the name of... Because the Legion Hall wants two shows there.
Whoa.
They want two shows a month.
That's a lot of shows.
I hope it doesn't kill the momentum, because, like, yeah, what if people decide it's too much?
That's overkill, no?
I mean, we'll find out. I'm going to go. But on the 12th, we have QPW. On the 13th, we have PWG, which PWG tickets go on sale June 14th. And then on the 14th, we have Bar.
Yeah.
So two of those shows are at the same venue, are at the Legion Hall, Baldwin Park. And then PWG is at the Globe. Man. That's going to be your first
Globe. Yeah, I've never been to the Globe, yeah.
As long as we get tickets on the 14th, which I don't think, I'm not worried about that.
I don't think, and the Globe holds what, 600 more people?
No.
Doesn't it hold like 1,000? No. Somewhere? No? How much does the Globe
like
hold?
It holds like maybe 500.
Really? So it's still what, maybe about like 100 more or so than?
Maybe 100 more.
Okay.
Not even.
Really?
It's not that small. Much bigger.
Okay, I thought it was a bigger venue.
It is a bigger venue, but, I mean, but I just it
thought
doesn't.
In general, like, I thought that meant more seats, more people.
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, they're going to cram people in there for Bola, I'm sure.
Okay. But, well, yeah, because that's going to be a hot ticket that they're going to raise the price up for a bit.
Oh God, I can't imagine how much how expensive. It's probably going to be $100 a night.
Yeah,
it's $300.
Count on it.
I might only go to night three, but I can't believe I'm saying... I might save up, but I don't have any money, so... I think I'm only going to be able to go to night three, but I don't know. We'll see. I can't believe I'm saying that. I have to go to all Ebola. I have to. Like, not going to it would kill me. But we've got... God, dude, we got so much stuff coming up. Because, like, July 6th, King of the Indies, 7th, New Japan. So that's up in... That's our Bay Area trip. The weekend before that, you've got Bar on Thursday the 28th, and then Rise in Southgate, and then AWS in Southgate. I might not be attending both of those shows.
No, I'm not going to be
I don't have money.
I'm going to be.
Although Rise is only $10.
That's not bad.
And Rise is going to be
but
dope.
But Rise is where it's Southgate.
But AWS is also in Southgate, and that's a dope women's tournament. And like, but... So, I don't know. I'm sad that... I'm glad I went to Rise when I did, because I saw Toni Storm, and now she has signed a WWE contract. Yep, so, not going to see her in Southgate ever again.
No,
So, I'm glad I went when I did. And now Io Shirai is going to WWE, too. Io Shirai.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with her.
Well, you know Kairi Sane?
Yeah.
In my opinion, and in a lot of people's opinion, she's better than Kairi.
Really?
Oh.
See, I'm not too hot on Kairi Sane.
Kairi's dope. Yeah. Why are you not too hot on her?
I don't know, I'm just not hot on the pirate gimmick.
Oh, I love the pirate
gimmick. Yeah, that's just...
She's not a pirate, she's a sailor.
Sailor, pirate, they're kind of the same.
She's a buccaneer.
Pirate sail.
I like it.
No, I'm just not hot on the gimmick, but she's a good worker. She's
so fucking good. That elbow drop, man, it's like the best in the business.
But see, I just barely caught up on NXT, so yeah, it's definitely hot right now.
For Mae Young round 2, they're going to have Toni Storm, Io Shirai, and Deonna Purrazzo. They signed her.
Nice.
I can't believe they let Emma go. It would be a good time to bring her back. But they got enough people. I just can't believe they let her go. They let Kimberly go. But Kimberly, like, I guess she just wasn't feeling the fire there. But now she's back in it. She's having big matches on the indies already.
Well, you know, sometimes you just got to come back to the indies and, you know.
I mean, look at Sami Callihan. I mean, look at Drew McIntyre.
Well, you look at
Juice.
Deshaun's 2 cents interview with James Ellsworth, how he talks about how fun the crowd is at bar wrestling.
Yeah.
So I can imagine you would probably get stale on the same crowd of WWE over and over. You're not getting over to where you lose your fire a bit, but then you come down on the indies. And hit a show like Bar Wrestling where you got people screaming at you that they hate you.
Ellsworth's reception at PWG was nuts, as we predicted.
Right, you mean at Bar?
At Bar.
Yeah, But I mean, you get that reception, and they can. I bet you that it fuels the fire a little bit. Yeah. They see that, hey, you know what? There is that fandom.
So many
out there.
Shows, man. So there's that weekend, and then we got NXT Riverside, July 27th. Super stoked for that, because that's going to be the homecoming show for Candice LeRae. That'll be her first show as an NXT superstar in her hometown, all her family. I just found out that one of my friends at RuPo at Back to the Grind, like, went to high school with Candice like, friends with her. Because he's like, wait, are you a fan of, like, Candice? I'm like, yes. Like, he's like, she's going to love, like, that I met some, one of her fans. I'm like, dude, I'm like the big, I'm like, I have, he's like, what do you, wait, do you have one of her shirts? Bro, I got, like, three of her shirts. I'm like, Candice, I've been a fan of Candice since I started watching indie wrestling. Like, she was there in my first shows back in, like, 09.
Nice, nice.
So, like, she's been around, and I remember 2013 we saw her wrestle. The first match we saw her wrestle was against Winter. What was her name? Katie Lee. And then the next time we saw her in QPW was in 2014. It was against cheerleader Melissa. And you can watch that match. It's on YouTube. It is brutal.
I just saw a video of her that I'd never seen her taking a boot with the... Spike to the face.
Oh yeah, that was when they won the tag titles. Yeah. And her
I've
and
never
Joey.
Seen that before. She's
yeah, the
just
super kick with the
up.
Oh yeah. You can get yeah. the shirt of that.
Yeah,
that's she's fucking crazy.
That's some balls right there.
So yeah, we got so PWG tickets are on sale Thursday, June 14th. And then Money in the Bank is on the 17th. So we got the Crash on 16th. So probably going to that. If you're gonna go to that, let me know. And then we also got Money in the Bank, so definitely be watching Money in the Bank because I always enjoy
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Money in the Bank is a good show.
I kind of dig that they went back to one pay-per-view. It was just getting way too much.
I like that, but one, I'm a little confused on how this is working. So there's eight people, four from each brand, right?
Yeah.
So who's grabbing what? There's two
titles.
There's
one case.
There's two cases.
Those cases are one is
there's
the women's, one is the, yeah.
Oh. Okay, gotcha. I've been sitting
there. No, there's one case.
This whole my stoned ass. See, I smoke too much shit before I watch this. Sometimes so I'm sitting here going, "So SmackDown and Raw each got a case for
no,
for
one,
so
one
I
is
gotcha.
A men's, one's a women's."
I gotcha.
I'm excited for the women's. Hopefully, and now that there's going to be no Ellsworth shenanigans,
how would that be funny if they brought him out just for the hell of it?
That'd be amazing. Oh my god, that'd be amazing. Well, cause I want whoever wins, you know it's gonna be like Charlotte's gonna win and cash in on Carmella, like.
Yeah, yeah.
You know that's what's gonna happen. Or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
I mean, here's what I want to happen on the men's side. I want The Miz to win, cash in on either Nakamura or AJ, doesn't matter, and then you got The Miz, champion Daniel Bryan title feud books itself.
Yeah, that's good.
Books itself. And the idea of Miz with the briefcase, I'm excited for that. The other person that I'm really excited about potentially
and
with
he's
the,
had
briefcase,
the briefcase before, right? No,
nope.
He hasn't. Okay.
No. Oh wait, maybe he has. Isn't that how he won the championship?
No, yeah. I think he had a match with Cena, didn't
oh,
he?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he had a straight-up match with Cena.
No, the match at WrestleMania, he was already champion.
Okay.
Which I think he won by cashing in, so maybe he did cash in. Yeah, you're right. I wasn't watching during that time. So
yeah, neither was I. I
don't really know. But, yeah, so I just like the idea of Miz now, because he's such a great heel.
Miz is hot, dude.
I want to see him with a briefcase or Samoa Joe with a briefcase.
That's where I was going to go.
Those are my two people that I think would, because I think a face with a briefcase is no good. It's got to be a heel, and it's got to be, like, you got to have a heel with a briefcase. And
I was going to go with Samoa Joe and just let Samoa Joe work with Daniel Bryan for a while.
Yeah. Let him do that, or The Miz, because Miz Daniel Bryan is money, but Samoa Joe Bryan is money. Samoa Joe, all those guys. I'm glad Samoa Joe went to SmackDown, because now you got Samoa Joe AJ, Samoa Joe Bryan, Samoa Joe Nakamura, just boom, boom, boom. Yeah. And now, dude, have you heard this crazy shit about HBK? Is now he's talking about he might work. Now he wants. He said he's worth another. He worthy another match. And I'm like, if we end up actually getting HBK Daniel Bryan, I will die.
I think it'd be closer to HBK AJ Styles.
That's what he's saying. But we were supposed to get HBK Daniel Bryan back in 2013.
Yeah, but that back now you got AJ Styles. I think AJ Styles is a little bit
triple threat.
Or that, yeah, or you can go that route. Just
put him in a triple threat. That's fine. No, you're right. Because you gotta have AJ
Shot. That would probably be the smart route.
The smart route to preserve both HBK and Daniel Bryan. And AJ, kinda.
Well, but AJ's still the healthier.
Yeah, but he's still, AJ's got a bump card and it's filling up.
Yeah, but he's not hurt like the other two have already been.
That's true.
So
he's had some injuries.
Here's
the thing I'm just worried about is I don't want him to waste. AJ Nakamura need to be feuding with each other for as long as possible, but good matches because they only have so many of those left in them and I'm bummed that they're kind of wasting those. And then same thing with Joe. These guys, they are all healthy now, but they also definitely have a limited time where they're going to be in their prime use. And so I want to make sure if I were booking shit, I'd make sure they're getting this shit in while they can with these guys.
Yeah.
Not wasting it on dumb shit.
You know it's going to be wasted on dumb shit.
Well, it always is, but at least they right away had AJ Daniel Bryan. Already got him hovering in their same peripheral.
Did you watch the last Raw?
Yeah, I did. I don't think it was as bad as everybody said it was. I mean, the Sami Zayn Lashley stuff is terrible.
But that was terrible.
And the Nia. I feel like this time the Nia, I feel like they're trying to save the Nia stuff because they made her look like less of a bully this time.
But it made no sense.
It didn't make a lot of sense.
She jumped over Nia.
Yeah.
And then hit the ropes and twisted her knee.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to expect Nia's at fault for hurting.
I know. Okay. No, it doesn't make sense.
It made no sense. What would have made sense is if Nia would have jumped on Natty and kicked her in the knee a couple times after.
I'm glad that Nia didn't attack her or attack because the whole Nia being a bully makes no sense.
But this made no sense either.
None of it made sense. It feels rushed. It feels like they're just rushing to put the belt on Ronda, which is a bad idea.
What did they do? It was a little bit afterwards with who else?
With Alexa.
Yeah, and then she left the match.
I think one of them was legit, maybe?
I don't know if it was legit. I'm not sure.
To be honest, they cut the Alexa thing from the Hulu, and I'm not watching a 3-hour Raw anymore, so.
Really? Okay.
Can't do it.
Alexa, it didn't look like she got hurt to me.
Okay.
But
here's the thing. Their booking is so terrible. They could do two of the same basic thing in the same thing.
Yeah.
I could see him doing that because Vince, but it's all Vince, dude. It's all Vince. It doesn't make sense. But you know what I did like?
It was hot garbage.
Finally getting to see, I mean, I thought that Strowman and, Brood was great.
Yeah.
And that was cool when Strowman like smashed the ladder and stuff. And then we got to see Finn Owens, which was fucking great.
That was great, yeah.
They need to stop giving Bobby Lashley the microphone. Cause Sami Zayn is doing the best he can with hot garbage. But Lashley, he comes out there with that smile on his face and he starts talking and you're just like, I don't buy you as like a credible threat to anybody.
And in the two cases you just gave for the good parts of Raw.
Yeah.
You could put those four people in any kind of combination.
Well, it's true.
And they're gonna work it because
exactly, but that's why I'm gonna watch. And Seth Rollins too. I throw that in there. And Seth and Roman as a team. I like seeing them teamed up.
But the overall garbage that was around them was
Vince garbage and there's
bad.
I don't know. I was able to I was able to tough past that, and I looked, there was a lot of, you should watch the Hulu version. It's 90 minutes.
Yeah, well, I fast forward through a lot on
the Hulu version is 90 minutes. It's enough. It cuts out enough. But the problem, and then I just watched the highlights of what I missed.
Well, the Bobby Lashley was pretty bad.
Bobby Lashley, they need to, like, put him with Heyman or somebody, someone to talk for him. Mm-hmm. Get somebody, anybody, because he cannot
talk. And the Rousey.
Put him with Titus Worldwide. I don't care. Even though that's kind of like, put him with the black guys.
I was just going to say, why?
But somebody else that can talk. Put him with anybody that can talk. Put him with, who else can talk?
They could have thrown him in the New Day and just made him goofy as fuck.
They bring his wife back.
Who's his wife?
I forgot her name, but I know that his wife talked for him. Like, she's talked for him in Impact, and she's talked for him back in WWE.
Booker T's wife, for that matter.
Get Booker T.
Charmel.
Get anybody to talk for him. But get Heyman. Put him with Cesaro. Put him with, put him with Ziggler and Galloway. Put him with somebody.
Well, and speaking of that, look, I like what they're doing with the B team, giving them the push.
Dude, that's crazy.
But come on, you're gonna put Ziggler and Drew McIntyre in that. I think that kind of hurt.
Obviously, they're building a story with them for something bigger.
I see.
I think this is building to a McIntyre singles push.
But you don't think to put them in? Oh, you think so? It's gonna break them up already. I think they should give him a little bit of a longer
I think they'll
run.
A little bit. I think they will, I but think eventually.
At least give him a title run a little bit.
I mean, they'll get there.
Let him spawn off.
Well, they'll get there. You know, I mean, you saw what happened with the finish of this one. I think it sucks that the Revival is just getting buried over, like, that sucks. Cause the Revival are so good. Mm-hmm. Like, they're so good. And it wasn't even their fault, like, them getting injured the way they did. Both of them.
Yep.
Like, it wasn't their fault. Shit happens. So to, like, for Vince to, like, seemingly write them off at this point is just so dumb.
Yeah.
Especially, like, how many times are we gonna try and get Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas over? This is, like, the, like, eighth repackaging.
Although it is pretty,
great. I do think it's, but what happens finally in a month from now? I mean,
yeah,
when Vince gets bored.
Well,
think about Heath Slater and Rhino. They used to be top guys for a minute, and now they're just a joke.
Yeah,
Breezango has never gotten out of that.
Although
just a joke bubble.
Rhino pounding those bologna sandwiches on Raw. That shit was fucking funny.
Well, I love when he's eating like the freaking
all that shit.
Well, then him and the when he gets the Cheese Whiz and the crackers, and he just goes to town. You're like, this is not fake at all.
I was dying at Rhino
because you know he's just I'm gonna eat all this food.
Rhino made that whole corny skit that I was hard to watch. I had my eye on Rhino the whole time, and that just made it all bearable.
No, it's great.
But I mean the tacos. Curt Hawkins and the tacos. You didn't see that?
See, I missed. They cut that part out.
This is what I'm talking about. Hot garbage.
Well, they cut that part out, so I didn't have to see it.
Curt Hawkins comes out, right? And I don't even remember.
This is why you should be watching a 90-minute Raw.
And
this is why everybody should be watching a 90-minute Raw.
There's a table, right? Of maybe probably about. You know, maybe about, I'll be generous, 100 tacos.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, this is my 199th loss I've had. This is going to be my 200th match. This is going to be my first win. If everybody wins, I'm giving everybody a taco. Like, come on. And then Baron Corbin comes out, ruins the match, and is the new constable.
They cut all that out
of
the night.
They cut out the whole gimmick of him being the constable.
I heard him talking about it.
Oh my
God. I'm glad I didn't have to watch any of that. That sounds dumb.
So then Baron Corbin comes out and he goes behind Kurt Angle's back and went to talk to Stephanie. And now anything Kurt Angle does has to go through Baron Corbin first.
Yeah.
It's hot garbage.
Whatever. It's how the authority stuff is always.
It's hard to watch. I'm almost ready to turn it on
then
WCCW.
Don't watch it. Watch that.
I'm going to watch like
watch World
Georgia
Class.
Championship Mid-South Wrestling or something because it's, you know.
Well, you have been watching NXT, which is good,
yes,
right?
Yes, NXT. I'm impressed with
that.
So
who's your favorite of the new people in NXT? I mean, Ricochet is just killing it.
Between Ricochet and Velveteen.
Velveteen.
Dude, I mean, I can't.
But then, I mean, everybody's doing
Lars,
so good.
Lars Sullivan. I mean, I'm excited about Lars Sullivan and Aleister tearing it up.
God, Aleister Black is so good. And then you have Undisputed Era, which are just tearing it up.
I'm not so hot on the Sabatini or Sabatelli guy. And,
Tino's...
And the Danny Burch.
I like Danny Burch and Oni Lorcan.
I'm not too hot on them. Because
I'm a huge Oni Lorcan fan.
The Heavy Machinery kind of...
Oh, dude, really?
I don't like the short fat guy. He's just a little too intense.
Dozovic is awesome.
He's a little too intense for me.
He's so hilarious.
But I like them as workers. I just don't.
Bianca Belair is great. What about Lacey Evans? Like, she's become such a great heel.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like beating Kyrie, like that was crazy.
I'm liking what's it?
Shayna
Raiders.
Baszler. Oh,
War
dude, War Raiders, dope. Yeah. But Shayna Baszler as champion has been dope.
Yeah, that's
she's just tearing
good.
Shit up.
Yeah, I'm impressed with how... I can't wait for main roster to turn into NXT. You know, for some of that writing to bleed over.
Well,
eventually.
As long as Vince is in control, yeah. It's always going to be half garbage or more garbage.
I guarantee you I'm going to outlive Vince. Yeah, right.
You don't know, dude. That guy might live to be like 120.
Got some crazy plasma
water. He probably does, dude.
Be like a million.
Look at, I mean, he does definitely look older when we see him now, but that's because he's like how old is he right now? I don't even know.
He's got to be in his mid to late 70s.
He's like 70. I want to say 75, maybe. I'm going to look. But we should get and talk about good wrestling. Let's talk about... We went to PWG last weekend. That was on the... what day was that?
Oh, shit.
Man, you are just not... That was on the 25th.
Yeah.
So that was Keith Lee's last night.
That was dope.
And he wrestled Adam Brooks, which was... Dope.
That was a fantastic match.
But let's talk about some of the other matches. First, let me find out how
old
Vince
was your
McMahon
highlight
is.
Of the match? What was your
my highlight,
your favorite first?
My favorite was, as I called it, Bandito Robbie Eagles. But then Sammy Guevara Walter was also dope. But nothing beats Bandito. To me, Bandito is the best wrestler in the world right now. Like, just the shit I've seen him do on a consistent basis. The fact that him and Flamita consistently just are delivering these crazy matches. And I've seen him do it in a bunch of different places now. Not just PWG. I saw him do it in two different places in New Orleans. And, like, I've watched their other stuff that they've been doing. And, like, Bandito's on another level, dude.
Yeah, he's...
Like, another level. Okay, so he was born in 1945. He's 72.
Okay, so early 70s.
Yeah.
No, mine...
He could have another 30 years in him, dude. He could. You don't know.
I love the Bandito match. That was an awesome match. But my favorite was the Guevara.
Walter Guevara told a story. And just seeing... being right up there. And they got right in our face at one point.
They almost kicked you in the face.
Well, yeah. At one point...
I saw that from the other side of the room. That was...
Walter sat in my chair. And, like, sweated on it. It's kind of gross. But, like, yeah. It was crazy. I almost got kicked in the face. At least I didn't get landed on like I did the last PWG All-Star Weekend Night 1 with Joey landing on me. Next time I see him, I gotta be like, yo, you gotta give me a heads up on that shit. Well, I kinda did.
But no, that Walter match and Sammy
Guevara. Sammy's chest was just like... so gross, and Walter's knee got all bruised, and like it was just they
I
were
think his
killing
knee was
each other.
Bruised coming into
it. That's what people are saying.
Because me and a buddy were talking about it in the back, who was part of the ring crew, and he was like, you know, sometimes with those deep bruises like that, he goes, they don't show up in the match. They'll show up like days or something later, and for it to be that dark, and his knee was like dark, and he just kept kicking it and kicking and. Man, that just had to hurt.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Had to hurt, and that Sammy's chest was just... And honestly, I wasn't really excited about the match. I was going to be like, oh, this match is going to be just boom, boom, done, over with, you know. The two good matches, you know, the matches are over. I saw, you know, the Riddle match was really good. I'm happy. I saw the Bandino match. I you know, Chris Lee's gone.
Don't be one of those. Listen to the PWG naysayers too.
I wasn't listening.
You're in those groups.
I was already thinking that just standing there watching the show, like, dang, how are they going to top already those matches?
But it's PWG. They always figure out a way.
And yeah, dude, exactly. Like, well, and you got to remember, I've only been going to, this is like my, what, fourth, fifth PWG? So I haven't been going as long as some of these other guys. So I sat there and I was just in awe of this match. I was just like, fuck, back and forth.
Let's go over these matches real quick. We had a debuting Andy Brown filling in for an injured Trevor Lee, taking on Tyler Bateman in Tyler Bateman's first singles match. Tyler Bateman defeating Andy Brown in 13 minutes, 17 seconds.
That was a good match, too.
It was great seeing Andy out there.
It was great. I've seen that match up and down. I've seen it in CWFH. Yeah. I've seen it in EWF.
Yeah.
Now you have to see it in PWG. It was really cool.
And then, speaking of local guys, Ray Horace defeating Jake Atlas in 14 minutes. I thought Jake did an amazing job.
Dude, he
did
pissed some, everybody
he,
off.
He was doing a great that. Heel work. And he did some shit in the ring that I had never seen him pull off before.
Yeah, he did.
He did some amazing stuff. And Horace is just always good.
Yeah, Ray Horace was awesome.
Then you had what I thought was a potential match of the year, my match of the night, Bandido defeating Robbie Horace in 1337 in what
Eagles.
Was just...
Robbie Eagles.
Robbie Eagles. In just a total sprint of a match. I mean, it was just nonstop.
I think that made SoCal and Center match of the month.
Yeah, match of the month.
Yeah.
Because Bandido did two things that I had never seen anybody do before. Like, he did this like vertical flippy thing out of the ring, and then his finisher I had never seen anybody do. It was nuts.
It was crazy. It was like an inverted torture rack into an F5 off of the top turnbuckle.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Then you had Adam Brooks defeating Keith Lee in Keith Lee's last match in 20 minutes.
And you know what I was surprised
like
about that
heel
match?
Fashion, which I really enjoyed.
I was wondering how, because I was kind of expecting
the low
Keith
blow.
Lee to lose it, being that he was going to go into NXT. I was wondering how they were going to make such a big man lose it to such a small guy. And they nailed it.
They did a good job. It was great. It's a great match. You're definitely going to want to don't skip that on the DVD. And Keith Lee giving a very heartfelt goodbye to the PWG fans. And it was cool getting to talk to him because this has been quite a year for Keith Lee. I feel like this year he really just
tore
it up.
He shined.
And so,
I can't wait for him to come on
WWE. Can you imagine Keith Lee in NXT?
He's going to tear it up.
Oh, my God. I want to see him and Dijak teamed up. And then I want to see him fighting each other. And then I want to see him teamed up again.
You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see AOP and Chris Lee together as a faction.
Yeah?
That would be some beast right there. Because all those men are beasts and can move. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, speaking of big men, Jonah Rock defeated Timothy Thatcher in 13 minutes in what was a very heel Jonah Rock kind of coming into because of a certain group of fans that decided that they were just going to boo Jonah Rock no matter what.
And it worked.
Yeah. Well, kudos for Jonah Rock for rolling with it. And him and Thatcher to me is still, Thatcher's like a man possessed. Like, if there's a guy that's got a chip on his shoulder and he's got something to prove, it's him. And I think he's doing a good job of showing everybody that he deserved to be Evolved Champion for as long as he was. And he's not to be ignored in the SoCal wrestling scene, even though he doesn't live in SoCal anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't live in California anymore. He's in Germany with Walter now.
Okay.
But, like, he's back wrestling on the indies to prove that he's one of the best out there. And I think he did a good job in this showing with Jonah Rock. But Jonah Rock is just...
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised amazing. Jonah Rock didn't break the ring again.
Man. Well, I think that Jesse's figured out how to reinforce it.
When Jonah's wrestling now.
Right. Matt Riddle defeating David Starr in 1822, and what I loved, he did the gotch neutralizer off the second rope.
Yep.
That was crazy.
Nice.
And then, like, that match, I really like that match. I thought they had a good match. They really got into it. It's going all over the place. I think Riddle's one of the best in the world, and Starr's one of the up-and-comers. And then in the main event, Walter defeating Sammy Guevara in 17-17. So that's like two...
Dang, that match felt like it was a half an hour of just a beating. 17 right? minutes, that I mean, felt way long.
They beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, they did.
And Sammy just really proved that what I knew already, because people didn't think he was going to be able to hang with Walter, and he could hang with Walter, man.
That was... He just got beat.
And then they
out.
Did kind of... They were, the thing that I liked, we saw it also with like the grizzled veteran and the young punk, cause we also saw it with Bateman and Vandegrift in Santino's.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the Undertaker, Jeff Hardy moment.
Yep.
But with Walter and Sammy, Walter did not ease up at all.
Oh, it was a straight beating.
Just Walter just like, I will break you into, you were into
he
compliance.
Broke it in half.
Yeah, it was nuts. Yeah, so PWG was great.
I've never seen anybody's chest get like that in a wrestling match.
We already ran down all the shows coming up. We got this weekend. We got Fist on Friday, which may or may not have already happened. And then we got CWFH on Sunday. Nobody is running shows this Saturday. What's going on Saturday? Is it Father's Day?
No, that's 2 weeks from now.
Then what's going on Saturday that there's no shows?
I don't know. That doesn't make too much sense to me.
Doesn't make too much sense to me. Graduation weekend? I don't know.
I bet you that's it. I've been seeing a lot of...
I guess, but... Still seems weird that nobody's running. And then we got PWG in July. And then Bola...
Coming up in
September.
September, yeah. August, they got the
Mystery of
Rise. The Rise.
They also got PWG in August.
Not Rise, Rival, where Scott Hall's going to be there.
Oh, that's right.
That card looks ridiculous.
That card looks good, but I think Mav Pro card for the ECW card just looks crazy.
Well, that's going to be a good card, too, yeah.
And then the upcoming, we got the Anniversary Bar Show with, they got 30... Superstars
that's
booked for that.
Crazy.
And then we've got the second bar show in July. We got two bar shows in July.
Yeah.
So we got June bar and then two shows bar in July and man, so much stuff. And we'll be covering it. I want to record more stuff on my phone at the venue since the Sergio one sounded great. I put it on the episode. People said it sounded great that I did on my phone.
Nice.
At EWF. So I want to do more of that, talking to the wrestlers, hanging out. We can call it In the Circle.
Bootleg Theater, actually, is the second
part. Oh, there
bar.
You go. So you were
yeah,
right.
Yeah, Bootleg Theater.
But I was like, what are you talking about, Pinkerton? That's the name
of
the show.
No,
that
was the name of it. No, Don't Hassle Me, I'm a Locals bar wrestler is going to be at the Bootleg
Theater.
So
it's not... See, Joey, I had heard that the reason why they wanted it was that the Legion Hall wanted two shows a month, but I guess that's not the case.
So, I don't know.
Well...
So have you ever been to that Bootleg Theater? Are you,
no,
are you familiar with
I'm
it?
I'm curious, so I want to go.
I'm wondering if there are going to be seats.
Well...
Theater sounds like a seat.
If it's not like theater seating.
Or maybe like a seat.
Well, maybe it is theater seating.
Yeah.
We'll find out. I'm probably gonna go if I have the money. I don't know if I'm gonna have the money. We'll see. It's a lot of shows. I'm doing a GoFundMe right now for my medical expenses, so we'll see what happens. And I need some temporary relief because my disability payments are delayed indefinitely. And they were trying to, yeah, I already talked about all that, but, yeah. So, if you want to help with that, it's gofundme.com/brendoman. And if you want to check out everything related to our show, including our Amazon links, which if you want to shop on Amazon, you can help out us by clicking the Amazon banner at mbwspod.com first and then go on Amazon. We also have suggested products. We got our Amazon store. There's wrestling stuff. There's There's cannabis related stuff. There's dab, if you want to get some dabbers. Wraps. You can buy your wraps on Amazon.
Hell yeah. Buy. Go check them out. A lot of stuff on there.
And that's at mbwspod.com and realkindmeds420.com for all your needs there. Hit us up.
New items, check them out.
Hit us up if you're in need of some real kind meds. Just hit us up. Contact us today. If you're in the Inland Empire, give us a call. Otherwise, email us help@realkindmeds.com or just use the contact form on realkindmeds420.com. I said realkindmeds.com.
It's realkindmeds420.com.
Come check us. Say hi to us at the Peter and Ray show. Do you have any Keys clips that you wanted to maybe finish with?
Yeah, we got, we were talking earlier about Bret Hart.
Oh, yeah.
Bret Hart dogging some trash on Eric Bischoff.
Calling him a no-talent hack, pretty much. And it's true because...
I agree.
Here's the thing. If anybody has the right to call Eric Bischoff a no-talent hack that didn't know what they were doing, it's Bret Hart because Bischoff clearly didn't know what he was doing with Bret Hart.
And apparently it was in response to Bischoff saying something about how Bret Hart came back from the screw job a different man, had no motivation.
He had no motivation because he wasn't giving him anything to do.
But I mean, wasn't it like 60 days or something like that? They used Bret Hart after.
Yeah.
And this was before they started using the no-compete clauses.
Yeah.
So, man, they let all that Montreal screw job.
They let all of they down. Well, they when they had him debut at, they had him. His first appearance was as like a referee at Starrcade.
I mean, when X-Pac came back?
Yeah,
he got to air all that shit out.
Yeah, and they never did anything like that. They could have done so many things with Bret Hart.
And that's what Bischoff should have started with.
Well, they should have also put him in good programs. Well, here's the problem is that Bret Hogan didn't want to wrestle Bret because he knew Bret would make him look like a chump.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas Nature Boy, because they had the Ric Flair Bret Hart program almost immediately, and that was great.
Yeah, yeah.
But then the natural progression would have been Hart Hogan, and Hogan wasn't going
to
do that.
Did you see how? I mean, I remember watching. I tried to watch some of it on the network. I still haven't gotten through it because it just turned. Calling the WWE hot garbage. That shit was dumpster fire.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean...
It's all bad.
I couldn't believe they had a Bret Hart in the NWO with Jeff Jarrett.
Oh, yeah.
And
well, that was Kevin back Nash when Vince... That was Vince Russo trying to make Jeff Jarrett... Because people still think... Well, speaking of trying to make Jeff Jarrett a thing, I was just informed by our correspondent, Sean Scoville. Check him out at Deshaun's Two Cents on YouTube, Facebook. That Jeff Jarrett is now in Triple A. So he's the freaking Triple A champion. Why do people keep thinking Jeff Jarrett is gonna be good for business?
How many different places? He turned himself in a match or something like that. Yeah, he wasn't booked in, I think, or something.
Why are they doing this? People keep thinking Jeff Jarrett's the answer. Jeff Jarrett has never been the answer.
And he just got WWE Hall of Fame for what?
For getting sober?
Yeah. I mean, really, that's what it seemed like the deal
for
was.
His entire career and also his dad.
But I mean,
here's 100% why Jeff Jarrett is in, cause this gets them one step closer to the Memphis
tapes.
Library.
To the tapes.
Those Memphis tapes, once they have the Memphis tapes, they have everything.
Yeah.
They have everything.
Yeah.
That's the missing link in their library is the Memphis tapes.
Yeah, you're right.
Which the Memphis tapes themselves are scattered. They have a few different people on them, but Jerry Jarrett has the most interest in them because it's Jerry Jarrett and Jerry Lawler, and they've already got Jerry Lawler and Jimmy Hart on board.
Yeah.
So, they just need freaking Jarrett's. So giving Jeff Jarrett that Hall of Fame spot, you don't think that was a political bargaining chip? You're insane.
It's smart. I see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, as far as deserving, though, I mean, Owen Hart, you know, you talk about...
Well, there's the thing where the reason why he's not in it because Martha doesn't want it. And, like, you got to understand that's his wife.
And I get that.
But I think, I mean, the family, I think for Owen's sake, I would like to see him, but I also don't think it's a good idea. People are like saying Martha Hart this and that. And I'm like, leave that poor woman alone.
And also we got to take this and factor that it's not like the Hall of Fame is an actual place also, we can go and visit.
And also it's a thing that, our president is a member of.
Yeah.
And, Drew Carey and Pete Rose.
Yeah. So
but that is the celebrity wing. But even the other wing, there's Coco Beware.
Yeah.
The Godfather. Other various people of varying degrees of worthiness. So whatever, man.
Yeah.
It is what it is. But I think if anybody has a right to be bitter, it's Bret Hart. Because people always call Bret Hart bitter, and I'm like, look, Bret Hart's life has been one of tragedy. His Teddy Hart's brother died at a very young age, so there was that. Then there was Owen. Then there was. He's lost a couple other brothers, yeah, and then his parents, and then he had a stroke. First he had the concussion that ruined his career from Goldberg, then stroke, then cancer, and then his Owen, everything about Owen. Because if Bret Hart had been there, like, can you imagine what that must be like? Because, like, thinking, like, if I had been there, that wouldn't have happened. He wouldn't even have been up there.
Yeah.
And knowing that. And, like, that's got to eat you alive.
Honestly, though, man, I don't know how Owen stayed after the Montreal Screwjob.
Well, he had to. Contracts. He had to. Vince blocked him.
Yeah, but you know what? Contracts are contracts.
Well, they would have taken him to court.
And in a way, you can be... And you know what?
All Owen wanted to do was finish out his contract. And, like, Bret Hart... Vince made it well and known that if Owen... tried anything, he would take him to court.
It goes back to...
And Owen didn't want to lose...
Rob Van Dam on a podcast talk about, you know, going on a trip to Kuwait. And he was saying how, you know, he goes, it wasn't a political thing. It wasn't the fact that I didn't want to go to Kuwait because I was against the war. He goes, the trip sounded like it sucked. It was going to be my first 2 weeks off in 6 months. I wanted to see my family. He goes, I was more insulted that Vince and the company thought they owned my flesh. And they could make my physical body do something that I didn't want to do.
Yeah, well, that's...
And I kind of feel that's probably what happened in
But that's how it was. Like, they don't have... These people don't have a... And they if they don't have a union and they... If they can... If your spot can be filled at will, what is there? Well, like,
Rob
what
Van
is...
Rob Van Dam took some heat for that, too.
About Rob Van Dam. Like, Rob Van Dam, because of the weed bust, Rob Van Dam was going to be, like, the next face of the company.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got busted.
Well, not only that, but he also talked about his attitude.
Well,
he got perceived an attitude that he didn't even have.
Yeah,
and things like that. So I mean, it's like,
well, it's also Rob Van Dam is notoriously difficult to work with, and all these people say it's not them, but when you see this pattern of like, up you got canned here, up you got there, up you bounced around there, you start to wonder. Like Teddy Hart always says, he's the victim, and I'm like, dude, no. When you're the victim everywhere, maybe you're not the victim. Like when like you get Rob Van Dam, sometimes I feel like is his own worst enemy because they did give him the ball and he immediately got busted for drugs.
Yeah.
So to be fair,
other things I read: Brock Lesnar dropping the belt at SummerSlam.
Everybody's been saying he's been going to drop the belt. Here's the thing. I don't believe any of that. Because these are the same dirt sheets that said they were going to drop. Then they said, oh, he's definitely going to drop it at the Greatest Royal Rumble. There were people convinced that the only reason why the Greatest Royal Rumble existed was so Brock could drop the belt. So people don't know.
I'm done with Brock as champion, though.
Oh, I'm definitely done.
It's so over.
It's old and dumb.
Like, I don't even see him on TV anymore. You know, it reminds me of back when I was a little kid and I was just getting into wrestling. I remember going to hit my cousin Nick up and I said, man, that sucks. Hulk Hogan's the champion and you never see him on TV. This is back when superstars and wrestling. Yeah. And he was like, well, he's a champion. You're not going to see him on TV.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, well, fuck that. What fucking sucks? Like, why do you want a champion that's not on TV? Like, you know?
Well, because Hulk Hogan only wrestles at the pay-per-views,
But see, Brock doesn't even come and pull promos or anything anymore. And that's what kind of, I mean... At least come in for the
I agree with you 100%. You know? This whole, like, keeping the title aloof obviously hasn't worked, and it's still not working, so they need to just cut that shit loose. And I agree with you there. But I think we're out of time here. Anything else you want to talk about? Any other Keith clips? Any other news?
Oh, really quick, TNA. I watched TNA.
Impact Wrestling. Would you watch it again?
Check this out. This is weird. I watched this. I started watching it. Okay, the first match was Drago Aerostar.
Yeah.
DJZ.
Yeah.
And Andrews, he's wrestling down here soon. So Evan Andrews, something Andrews.
No idea.
I don't know, something Andrews. Good match, entertaining. I liked it. Went a little. It went two commercials, so it was kind of a long match for a lucha match. I was thinking. So then it went into video promo of the match tonight that was going to be Eddie Edwards and Callahan in the forest.
Yeah. What?
So yeah, they're going to wrestle in the forest. Yeah. So I assume it's supposed to be kind of like a Bray Wyatt thing or an Elite thing. So they show a little video package of how Sammy Callahan's going to get murdered by Eddie, you know.
Gotcha.
So then it goes to commercial again, and it comes back to Rob Van Dam and Tommy Dreamer at Turning Point.
Well, when the show's over, they just show
in the middle of the show, though.
Oh, they have been doing that. They do that. They show old stuff.
Okay, I didn't know.
When I read recaps of Impact, they just show old things
right in the middle of the show. Yeah. It was TNA.
Yeah,
Turning
it's like
Point.
Greatest hits. It's because they want people to try to get people to subscribe to their streaming service.
It made no sense to me because why am I watching Rob Van Dam and Tommy Dreamer
when you watch TNA and when you watch Impact recaps, that's what they make fun of, is that they show half of it's like highlights of old stuff.
Granted, though, I liked it because it was a match that I had forgotten I had seen, and it looked like Tommy Dreamer breaks his wrist in it or something, and he continues the match. It was really good.
Yeah, that's what they do. They show they do that to advertise the streaming service.
Then they have
which they also advertised on WWE stuff because they to use.
They had what's Rich Swann's wife's name?
Sunyi.
She does like a demon kind of thing too, right? Yeah, I guess she won the Impact title from Allie. Yep. So
because Allie's leaving.
Yeah, I kind of fast forwarded through that because it was just kind of it seemed like
Braxton Allie and Braxton Sutter are both gone,
right? Yeah. So. That was different because it just seemed like one long promo. There was
I wouldn't
no
be surprised if you saw Allie in the second Mae Young.
Then trying to think of what match it was before the Callahan match. The Callahan thing was literally like 5 minutes long, maybe.
So would you watch this again?
Maybe because I'm curious.
Were you watching it on Twitch or were you?
No,
watching
I watched it on Pop.
Okay, like on your actual TV?
Yeah, on my actual TV.
Okay.
So, I don't know, I might give it a try next week again just to see where it's going, but it's very confusing because it's a Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
And Tommy Dreamer came out in the end of the thing in a Lucha Underground shirt. So I'm like, Tommy Dreamer on Impact with Lucha Underground.
Well, because they had the whole Lucha Underground versus Impact thing.
So, yeah, it was kind of confusing, but it was... The whole trying to be the Wyatt the deletion thing was bad though. Trying to go out in the woods, horrible.
Yeah.
They
got the UK King Tournament Bracketology show. I'm really excited about this round of the UK tournament with Travis Banks and Flash Morgan Webster.
I haven't even looked up on any of it yet.
Well, it hasn't started yet, but they just have the bracket.
Who's the new guy they got? I'm not familiar with this, the GM or whatever.
Oh, dude, it's freaking the new GM of the new thing is it's Johnny Saint. He's a legend. He's a legend. Really? Well, because he's a legend
over
in the
there,
UK.
Yeah.
He's like the Hulk Hogan.
Really?
Oh, yeah, dude, just look him up. World of Sport, Johnny Saint.
Okay.
He's a legend.
Sweet.
Like him, Robbie Brookside, like... And then
heard Robbie Brookside.
Well, yeah, he's a trainer. Well, Johnny Saint's way bigger than Robbie Brookside.
Huh.
Like as far as like World of Sport,
okay.
Like if you know somebody that ever watched World of Sport, they would know who Johnny Saint is. Most people in the UK, even if they aren't like wrestling fans,
no,
probably would know who Johnny Saint is of a certain age.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like old, like our age or older,
so
they know who
farts.
Johnny Saint.
Old farts, then.
Yeah, but that's exciting, and it just gives some credibility. But just the, I mean, a lot of UK wrestling fans are bummed because they're scooping up all these talents and signing them to exclusive deals.
Is Zach Sabre in the bracket?
Nope.
No, huh?
I doubt it.
Was he in it last year?
Yeah, but he doesn't. He's in New Japan now.
So. Oh, that's right. That's right. Duh. Yeah, yeah.
He won't.
Yeah, he wouldn't be on this. Yeah.
He did his WWE thing. He's good.
Yeah.
So he doesn't need that. No, I'm excited. They got El Ligero. They got, like, a bunch of guys. Like, great UK talent.
Nice. This should be a good tournament again.
Yeah, and I think Drew Gulak is in it. And Drew Gulak's been just killing it. I need to get back on the 205 Live train.
Yeah, see, I haven't watched
it. Because I'm behind. Well, it's been so good. It's been good ever since Enzo left.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, since they got... Saying. Well, since they got Rockstar Spud.
Yeah.
Do whatever his name is in 205 Live. I forgot. Braden Walker?
I was never hot on him in TNA.
Oh, dude, he's so good in TNA. He was great.
He was the annoying little flyer.
Him and DJZ.
Yeah. Well, no, see, I remember him as Dixie EC3. Carter's. I remember Carter's little wacky.
That's because he was with EC3 and Rockstar Spud, and then they fought.
EC3's looking hot right now.
Oh, my God, dude.
Yeah,
well,
EC3's looking good.
EC3 is so good, and, like, they have so much crazy talent down there in NXT. Like, it's unbelievable the talent they have. And, like, you think about all these rosters, and then you think about, like, why are they, like, wasting some of their, like, good TV time on, like, some of this garbage? Mm-hmm. It doesn't make... Well, it makes sense because the 72-year-old man is in charge of the product, yeah, who also thinks it's a good idea to start the XFL. Oh, my God. He's just going to piss away another $50 million.
Hey, you know what? If he does, maybe it'll focus his time over there and less on...
I hope so.
If
it's gonna last the whole season,
you gotta figure to set up the logistics alone of having a league like that. It's gotta be.
It didn't happen last time. He still was able to, like, pretty much stay.
Yeah, but it was a different time.
I hope so.
It's a different world.
I hope that it takes up all of his time and he doesn't go.
I hope he's got some money to back.
And I hope it doesn't go under immediately. Because I just want him to not pay attention to Raw for 6 months. If we get a good 6 months to a year of, like, Triple H running Raw, like, not that Triple H is, like, a saint, but at least, like, come on, let Gabe book Raw.
I kind of hope it succeeds if it does.
I don't understand how it will.
I like football, and I honestly haven't watched it in the last couple of years, not because of all the protest stuff, just because. I see.
But it's gonna be, how can it possibly have good players? The NFL can't even keep a full 28 teams worth of good quarterbacks.
But see, here's where it's gonna be, is you're gonna get the players that...
That's what they thought about the original XFL, nobody wants to see those guys.
I watched the original
XFL. Yeah, you had like one good guy on it each team.
But you had good games.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, some of those games were really good.
We must have watched different games. I went to one of the LA games.
You were watching the San Francisco Demons.
Well, I was living out in the Midwest.
I had a buddy.
And when I was visiting, I went to an LA game and it was terrible.
But see, with right
they
now
they were playing San Francisco. LA had the best player. What are you talking about? They had the one guy that Tommy Maddox that ended up going to the NFL.
Only had that he hate me was from Vegas.
But he didn't end up going to NFL. Yeah. Tommy Maddox and he hate me.
But no.
Because otherwise you had RIP Rashawn Salaam, who was on the downhill. Craig Wheelahan, who was like third string from the Chargers.
I think where the NFL's going now with some of the origin rules, the ownership is just fucking crappy now. Or the ownership's always been crappy, but it's just.
Yeah, but so Vince McMahon's gonna do a better job? Are you kidding me?
You know what?
He's not gonna let the players. The players aren't gonna get to have union. He's gonna treat the players like he treats his wrestlers. He can't do that. Yeah.
That might be different because they might be different rules that they'll have.
He'll make his own rules. It's his league.
I don't know how that rules.
It's his league. He can make whatever rules he wants.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess. That's what I'm saying.
How is it going to be that different from NFL?
I hope.
I don't see how exactly what happened before isn't going to happen again. I don't see how that's going to happen. In a world where there's even more things for people to do, there's more TV channels, there's more distractions, the market is even more segmented, how is it going to work this time around? It makes no sense.
I hope so.
I hope so too. It doesn't make any logical sense.
As an NFL fan who's been disenchanted with it as of the last 4 years, I'd be down to look for an alternative just to see what.
How is it going to be that different though?
Because I don't know. Just to see how different it is.
We've already done this. That's the thing though. It's not different. We've done it before.
Well, see, I enjoyed it when it was different.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, see, I mean, that's, but are you a football fan? Do you watch
football? Yes, I don't watch it anymore because I'm sick of all of it. I don't want to support criminal NFL players that are straight up criminals. I don't like the hypocrisy of the NFL who refuses to condemn players who like beat women and they refuse to acknowledge that CTE is a thing. They continue to silence all of that.
So say Vince
McMahon. Those problems are going to exist in the XFL. But you're still going to have concussions. You're still going to have criminal players. He's already said they're still going to force them to stand for the anthem just like in the NFL. But there's going to be just worse players.
I don't know.
How are you going to get better players? There's no way with the money they're going to be able to pay NFL level salaries. Do you actually think that there are players that are good players aren't in the NFL right now?
I think there are players out of college that are going to be willing to take a paycheck. They're willing to play football for a paycheck.
But that aren't good enough to be in the NFL, so why would I want to watch them on TV?
Because somebody like me is not watching the NFL and is looking for something different. Because I don't want to watch criminals. Why are Vince going to hire the same people?
He's going to hire people. Vince has already said he's going to hire people that the NFL wouldn't hire because of their criminal records, so...
Well, I didn't hear that. I didn't know that.
They asked about specific players that the NFL won't hire because of their criminal past, and he said he would take them.
Really?
So it's not – Vince McMahon is not trying to clean football, if that's what you're thinking.
No, I'm not saying he's that, but I'm just
– This like is Vince said, McMahon we are talking about.
I'm looking for something different than the NFL, and I'm anxious to see if he can provide it. If not, that's his money.
That's what I'm saying. It's very interesting.
And if it gets him out of the WWE for a little bit?
I just don't think... None of that didn't happen last time, so I don't think it's going to happen this time. But
he didn't have Triple H back there last time.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, Triple H and Stephanie now are like straight up taking the reins.
He still had Stephanie. He still had all those people.
Yeah, but not like Stephanie now. Stephanie's like badass now.
Yeah, but he still has the control of Raw. If she's that badass, why is he in control?
Weren't they just in LA trying to get an Emmy bid or something like that?
Yeah, but he still is in... That's what I'm saying, though. He still has control over that show. He still has the final say, and he's not going to give that up just to... He's already said he's not giving it up to run the Football League, and he didn't before.
Nothing's
going to change. Why would you think a 72-year-old man is going to change?
I can hope.
That's a bad thing to put your hope in.
I can always hope.
Like, why are you putting your hope into Vince McMahon?
I don't know. I keep watching WWE hoping it gets better.
Well, the only time it's better is when it's not him calling the shots.
But it's usually
205 Live is great. NXT is great because he has nothing to do with either of those.
But I continue for 5 hours a week to watch Raw and SmackDown.
What are you going
to
do?
We
haven't talked about that yet. SmackDown is going to be 3 hours and it's going to be on Fridays starting 2019. Wow. So we have a year.
Good thing for DVR nowadays.
Also, that means WWE has $2 billion. It's like $2.5 billion they got between the two shows.
Well, here's what I think WWE is going to lose out on. You put it on a Friday night.
They don't care. They got their money. And that's the network.
But now you're running. Oh, yeah, you're right. It isn't. Oh, it's the network paying them, huh? So it doesn't matter about the ratings, huh?
It matters for the network. They could cancel the show. But that's not going to happen. It's going to be the top-rated show on the network no matter what.
You think so? What network are they going on? Is it still USA?
It's going
to go to Fox?
It's going to go to Fox. for SmackDown, but Friday night ratings, they're still going to be the highest rating show on Friday night, I guarantee you.
What does Fox have right now on
Fridays? On Fridays? Night? Who knows?
I think they have, like, they have fancy stuff, I think,
right now. No, Fox? Fox has, like, dumb sitcoms on Friday nights.
Are you sure?
And, like...
No, they're on MasterChef right now.
No, you're thinking cable. That's cable. MasterChef is cable.
I'm confused then.
Yeah, I'm Fox. Fox like affiliate? KTTV. Okay. Like okay. Channel 6. Okay. Fox.
So you're not, Fox affiliate.
Not FX. You're thinking FX
No, I'm not thinking FX.
You're thinking of cable channels. Cause
I'm thinking of the Fox. Chef shows, I'm thinking of Channel 11 right
they
now.
They show chef shows?
Yeah. Gordon Ramsay's MasterChef and all that stuff's on Fox. That's the Fox channel.
Well, there
channel.
You go. So I'm thinking I don't watch TV, so you're the
leader. So that's what I'm trying to think of what they have right now that's on. So they're going to take
that
place.
Well, they're going to put that there, you know, Friday night.
And that's going
to
be
from 8 to 11.
And see, something like that usually comes on a seasonally basis, so you have it constantly.
But these are going to be on all the time.
That's going to hurt them, I think, in at least the ratings, because...
They don't care. I mean, they do care, but what's not going to hurt them?
How do they count DVRs for ratings?
I don't know, but they get the ratings right now are fine, and it's not going. And they were fine when they were on Fridays.
But what I'm saying though is, you know, you have people that go out. You have indie shows that show on Friday nights.
Those people aren't watching Smack. Here's the thing though: appointment television already is over, so the ratings for those kind of ratings aren't as big of a deal anyway.
Is there a difference between the DVR?
I don't know how they measure it. I don't understand it because I don't know anybody that watches TV live as it is.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
So I think it's like DVR counts. I don't know. I have no idea. I watch it on Hulu, so I don't care.
I remember before DVRs when was it ECW that went on Friday nights?
Yeah.
I wasn't going to watch it because I had shit to do. I barely ever
watched ECW when it was on. Because it was on at like dumb times.
I remember being excited that it was on and I was like, cool, I'm finally going to get to watch ECW because I watched them on pay-per-view and this and that. And then I got it and I was like, you have it on the night where I'm out doing everything. Like I'm not going to sit at home.
That's always been the case for SmackDown on Fridays. That's the case. And so I don't understand why they're moving.
So what are all the nights SmackDown's been on in its history? It's been on
Tuesday, Thursday, Friday.
And Fridays, huh? Okay.
Because it started on Thursdays, and then it moved to Fridays.
3 hours.
And then it's been on Tuesday. I just don't understand why they're... I mean, I understand why they're making it 3 hours, because that's another hour of commercials money. So I get that. And that's why they're paying the big bucks, so they can air more commercials and sell more things during it.
Mm-hmm.
And Fox is going to be all once the Disney deal goes through, Fox is going to be all sports anyways.
Yeah,
because they're losing all that programming.
Yeah, yeah. Damn. Everybody's selling out.
Well, yeah, that's the world we live in now. I don't blame him. Rupert Murdoch's getting older; he doesn't care. Erie was trying to buy Raw too, but they didn't want to.
Well, yeah, because USA, I heard, bought it for like three times.
USA got it. Well, because USA was going to lose both of them.
Yeah.
So that's why they.
USA would probably go.
USA couldn't afford both. And if they lost Raw, what would they have? They got their, I mean, they have like their fictional shows, which seem to be doing okay, but Raw does better than I think anything
but even
they have.
Their fictional shows are never really that good.
They've gotten better, I've heard.
Yeah,
they've won some Emmys and shit. Than
Pacific Blue.
Well, I mean, they've gone way beyond that. Now they're on like White Collar and Suits and, all those shows.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. I think USA paid a lot of money for Raw, and I mean that makes sense because that's their big flagship show on that network.
Mm-hmm.
But losing SmackDown is, I don't know, that's gonna, whatever. It would have been too much money for them to spend, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because like combined again, it was like $4 billion or something.
Yeah.
No, it was like $2 billion because it was like $1 billion each. I was thinking it was $2 billion each, so it's like $2.5 billion total because it was like $1 point something billion for this and $1 point something billion.
So where does the extra content go?
What do you mean?
Say they, well, you know how they put the NXTs every once in a while? Does that go to USA or does that
NXT
go to Fox?
NXT is on the WWE Network.
Well, no, but you know how that sometimes they'll pull the specials or the tribute to the troops?
That's all USA, I think, or whoever.
So is USA
I think
still
it'll,
get to keep those?
I don't know. It's whatever is in the contract. Yeah, I think the SmackDown contract is just
there's going to be a lot of things changing.
Well, supposedly the SmackDown contract is for SmackDown and for a weekly episodic, like, talk show, so I think Talking Smack is coming back, which is awesome.
That would be cool.
But then everything else, like NXT and Tribute to the Troops,
that's
those are USA.
Fuck 3 hours of SmackDown. Do a 2 hour SmackDown and an hour of Talking Smack all on the Fox Network.
We're getting 3 hours plus an hour.
Oh, so it's going to be 4 hours plus the Talking Smack?
3 hours plus a weekly show. They haven't said when it's going to air or what it is.
See,
and it's on Fox. It's not on WWE.
See,
Network.
What I would do is do it the formats like they do on like SportsCenter. SportsCenter will show the football game, and then right after,
well, that's
the football
probably what
game,
they might do that, but it's going to be 4 hours because it's 3 hours plus the hour show.
That's a long.
they don't think that way. They think in dollars and how much commercials they can sell.
Yeah, I see how they think. But the way we think from our end, that's just oversaturation.
That's too much.
I can't keep up with all that.
Well, speaking of too much, we were supposed to end this episode like 20 minutes ago. And I got to get home.
Well, right on.
Get to bed. Because I got a big day tomorrow going to San Diego.
Nice, nice.
All right. So let's wrap everybody up. Be sure to go to, like I said, go to mbwspod.com, realkindmeds420.com, and we'll see you next time.
Peace out.
Excuse me. Well, we'll see you next time in the ring. And for Massive Bloods Wrestling Show, I'm Brendan Creasy.
I'm Stoner Keith.
And support your local indie.
Stay high.
We'll see you next time.
Later.
To all who come to this happy podcast, welcome.
Nothing new is something new.
That great poets imitate and improve.
Whereas small ones steal and spoil.
Hi, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Justin.
And if it wasn't readily apparent at that, we're huge nerds about remakes. That's why we're doing the Nothing New podcast.
Once a month, we'll sit down and talk about a remake in detail and its original, covering them in whatever order they come out, from Wizard of Oz to It and beyond.
They're remaking Stuart Gordon's 1986 sci-fi horror classic From Beyond?
Oh, no. Not yet.
Oh, that's going to be a long time coming. Anyway, if that sounds up your alley, come join Justin and I, and maybe a guest or two, to explore the wonderful world of remakes, film by film.
Remakes have been done forever. People talk about Scarface, don't even know that was a remake.
Oh, nicely said.
Don't thank me. Thank Antoine Fuqua.
This podcast is a part of the Benview Network.
You can find this and other podcasts like it at BenviewNetwork.com.